It's bonus time here on the Gill Connections podcast. In an effort to increase communication, empathy, and understanding around the country, we're going to be running a new episode every day, interviewing a coach, a high school coach from every state, and yes, even you, Washington, D.C., with explaining how the state qualifying system works in their state. We'll be talking with a local state expert on how many classes, private versus public schools, what events, and what is the process? Is it areas, districts, regionals, state meet? Is it a descending order list? Are there fun things that you do a little differently? Like maybe you, I don't know, maybe you do double points for relays. Looking at you, Texas. And then we're also going to get to the bottom of, is it the state meet or do you qualify for states? So check us out every day here in April and May of 2024 as we run through each state with a local state expert. So let's get started right now. All right, here today, as we're continuing on through the country, we're in South Dakota, and I just want to encourage you, if this is your first one, you're kind of like in the middle of a 51 bonus episode content that we're doing here on the Gill Connections podcast. Highly encourage you to go back. We're doing one a day, April and May here in 2024. We started with Alabama. We're going to end with Wyoming. We're doing all 50 states and even Washington, D.C. And so I just want to encourage you to check them all out because it is a learning experience. And that's what we're going to do today. Help me welcome from Sioux Falls Roosevelt High School, Coach Casey Shade. Casey, how are you today, sir?
Hey, I'm good. It's an honor to be representing South Dakota in this. My name's Casey Shade, and I coach at Sioux Falls Roosevelt. This is my 10th year in coaching and my third year as the head coach. I also do a program there called the School Speed. We just work with different programs and everything like that. But before that, I was at the University of South Dakota and actually went through South Dakota as an athlete, too, at Sioux Falls, Washington. So I'm excited to talk about this stuff today.
That's awesome, man. What a great school and what a great state. And sounds like we got the right guy. You're South Dakota through and through here.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. I love it. All right. Well, Casey, thank you so much, man. You know, I'm just so grateful. This bonus series that we're doing doesn't happen if I don't have 51 servant leaders volunteering. So just so grateful. Just want to say thank you so much for being here and helping us, schooling us on South Dakota outdoor track and field.
Heck yeah. It's an honor.
All right. So some states, and we're learning not many, but some states will have a separate private school organization and separate private school state meet and a separate one for public. Most common, we're finding out everybody just is battling together towards a state meet title. What are we doing in South Dakota for public and private schools?
We're all together. So I think the private school would be really, really small if they decided to separate, if they were to do that. But nope, we're all together. Doesn't matter if you're public or private. It's more just the size of enrollment that you have.
Perfect. Yep. That's the most common we're finding. So let's move on to how we divide things up there in South Dakota, typically by enrollment, as you mentioned. How many classes or divisions and what do we call them?
So we have three classes. So our smallest class is a class B, and then we have class A, and my school, like Sioux Falls Roosevelt, is class AA, those higher enrollment classes. And that's really what it's determined by is enrollment, depending where you're at. So, you know, our smaller towns in South Dakota, pretty frequent, you know, our class B type of schools, those class A's are kind of those smaller towns than our bigger towns like Sioux Falls, the different schools we have, Yankton, Pierre, Rapid City, we're all in the AA.
I'm always fascinated. You know, it seems pretty standard to go A, AA, AAA. Here we have B. And I was like, where are you going to go from there, man? Because, you know, you can't go C. Yeah. And if you go A, that means only two. So B, A, and AA. It's just always interesting how we call these things, you know.
Oh, it gets real confusing when you look at our football.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Right. Okay, well, let's talk about, so we have three state championships, right? So three boys teams are working to earn a state title and three girls teams are going to work towards a state title. So how do we get there all around the country? We call them divisionals, areas, regionals, sectionals, all these different names. What's the first round in South Dakota called?
Okay, so we actually do not have any more regional meets or any of that. So AA, we never really have. Before, it used to be an auto standard to get you in, which was like the average eighth place time of last so many state meets, and there was a provisional. The other schools could get an auto, the B and A, and then they would have their regional meets. But now we've just gone to top 24 entries. So It's not the top 24 marks of the season. It's the top 24 marks that are entered. And we use athletic.net for all that. And you can have a maximum of three per school. And then you can have one relay. At the AA level, we don't have 24 teams, so we automatically get a relay in. But for those B and A's, they got to be in that top 24 to get their relays in and everything like that.
So you're running your entire outdoor season schedule. And we're accumulating a descending order list. And then presumably at some point, whether it's a week before state or 2 weeks, we have to declare. And the top 24 declarations get into the 100, the shot put, the pole vault, et cetera.
And it's been really good because we did have some years where, at least at the AA level, we noticed this, where kids wouldn't reach that provisional mark. And then we would have, like, the shot put would have 12 kids in it. And so this top 24 has just really cleaned it up for everybody. And it gets it really gets the best athletes competing. Not to say those other classes with the regional meet, but you would get some kids in a region that would just be at a disadvantage if they had a strong region. But now we're assembling the top 24 field of who's ready to rock and roll and go out and compete. Yeah, we have a last chance meet, usually the Thursday before the state meet. And that gets really interesting because that top 24 can really, you can shift. So you can be at a kid like in the 100, especially in the 200 and even the 800 a lot, because a lot of those kids in the 16 and 32 are dropping down to run the 8. We see some drastic change in our rankings and everything like that. But it's been pretty cool because we can have a kid in the 400 that's ranked like 50th. And with our relays and everything, can jump up and they get in and get that opportunity.
We have a couple of states that do this descending order list. Some states are doing, like, to get on that list, it has to be in certain meets because of, you know, you talk about wind gauge and, you know, automatic timing, et cetera, like that. Does South Dakota, it's any meet can get on that list, or do we have certain qualifying meets?
Mostly it just has to be a sanctioned meet. So a South Dakota sanctioned meet, or we can be at a sanctioned meet outside of our state. In South Dakota, our springs are pretty brutal. And so we like to chase warmer weather. We'll head down to Nebraska quite often. We go down there 3 times to get some warmer weather meets. It's got to be a 400 meter track, that type of stuff. We have gravitated to having to have automatic timing, which has been really nice. It's more of just the argument of consistency, which I think is good, especially in the 100 and 200, where it's not to say the guy that works at the bank coming to handheld the one meet, you know, and we got 30 mile per hour tailwind. It just makes it consistent all around. So then when we get to those rankings, it's as fair as it possibly can be.
I feel like we're not going to get into it, but I feel like there's a story of somebody that came from the bank to time one of your meets once. And you're like, never again, bank man, we're not having that again.
It was always, if you went to this certain meet, you'd come out with a PR. So it was somewhat beneficial when we'd go to it, but yeah.
Well, I love that you go to Nebraska to chase warm weather, by the way. That says a lot about South Dakota springs. I think that says enough. Well, let's get into, we're kind of bridge towards the state meet itself, but you mentioned this last chance meet. So this will bridge us into the state meet. You said this last chance meet is on like Thursday. So talk to us how that fits into, when is the state meet? Is it always in the same venue? Do all three classes have their state meet at the same place? How many days is the state meet? Kind of bridge that last chance into state meet.
Yep. So we have that last chance on a Thursday, and then our entries are declared that Saturday. Okay. And then it's always that last week of May is when we have it over the holiday.
I was afraid your last chance meet was on Thursday and the state meet started Friday. So there is a week. Okay. That's where I was really kind of like, bridge that, because that seems
we have that week
crazy. Week. Get it. Okay. Now let's go to the state meet.
Yep. So the state meet now, this will be our third year of doing this. We have shifted to a 3-day state meet. All classes are together at the same venue. We're in Sioux Falls at Howard Wood Field.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. There used to be a rotation of 2 years in Sioux Falls at Howard Wood with 1 year at Rapid. Currently, with all the classes together, they're trying to figure out if we can make the Rapid track area work. The parking and everything gets pretty chaotic. It used to be, we used to have a 2-day meet and our classes would be separated on day one. So B would be like a Howard Wood, class A would be in Lenox, class AA would be in Brandon for the first day. And then we'd all come together for like the sprint finals and the other distance races and everything like that on Saturday. But But I'll be honest, it's been a really, really cool experience that we've shifted to a 3-day because we've seen, you know, you get to see all the best track athletes in our state all in one spot, and the stands are just packed full. And so the atmosphere is really cool, and it's just a great event. And the first day I walked in, I didn't know what we were going to expect. It was my first year head coaching too. And that Thursday I was like, wow, like typically it's low key, you come in, but now it's just like, wow, the buzz is here. So it's kind of just a real cool deal to have everybody together.
I find it interesting how you used to do it, that you'd be all in your separate sites for the Friday and then come together. That's I have not heard that. That's interesting. Now we're in a 3-day single venue state meet. When you say 3-day, do you mean like, is Class B doing all of theirs? We're given a team title at the end of Thursday night and Friday night is Class A and Saturday is Class AA? Or are we working towards all the prelims and such and maybe some finals, but on Saturday, all three or all six state championships are given out?
Yep. So it's all finalized with everybody on Saturday.
Oh,
so
awesome. We
have a mixture of events. So a lot of our events on the first day are like 100 prelims, 4x1 prelims, the 110 hurdle, 100 prelims. We do the 4x8. We do a sprint medley, that type of stuff, and gravitate. It's been nice because now we spread out, especially as the old middle distance runner and me who did the 4x8 double and the 4x8 and 4x4. You're not so loaded on day one. It allows those kids to spread out. It was really cool, because we just had Simeon Birnbaum come out of our state. And I felt like it really highlighted one of the best athletes in the country to have that 3-day meet and to spread out his workload of events as well.
I like 3 days. You know, you obviously do it in 2 days, depending on how many classes, but I really like the championship Saturday. Everybody wins their, you know, we all have 4x4s at the end and we give out all these team trophies instead of like, you know, Class A wins it on Thursday. And that's great because it's still important, but I like the all team titles are winning on one day. That's really cool, you guys. Very cool. Mm-hmm. You know, we definitely know this, that track and field is the most inclusive sport, tall, short, big, small. There is some place on track and field for you to achieve success. We're learning that a lot of states are adding some kind of adaptive, unified wheelchair events to their state meet. Anything like that going on in South Dakota right now?
Nothing currently in South Dakota at our state meet situation, but the unified stuff is really taken off at our Dakota Relays, which is the big invite that like North Dakota schools come down to, South Dakota schools come down to. We've added a unified 4x1. We have Special Olympics 100, and we're getting wheelchair races too, depending if there's athletes that are interested. When we actually go down to Nebraska, at Roosevelt, we've done a great job with our unified program with basketball, and we're starting to do it with our track program a lot as we go down to Nebraska and participate in their unified divisions at their meets. So I think it's something that's coming and teams are building more interest in it. It was the first year we did it at our Dakota Relays. We participated, Von Holm participated in it. So I think it's something that's coming and I could see in the future here being added to it as well.
Very cool. And I've been to the Dakota Relays a couple of times. That's a meet. That's a facility. I love that place. And boy, it is Dakota. I mean, that's a, you know, that's very, a lot of pride right there in Dakota Relays for that meet. That's awesome. So you have, you know, because we have three classes, we have three 4x1 champions, and three girls 4x1 champions. Some states, whether it's officially or unofficially, like maybe through a coaches association, will do a meet of champions where we gather the state champions from each event and maybe second and third places. And we, air quotes here, find the true state champion in each event. Anything like that?
So no real meet. People have tried. It's really never taken off. But what we do is gold medal winner of all classes. So once our order goes B and then A and then double A of our events. So like, let's say it is the 100. B runs, A runs, double A runs. After double A is ran, then they'll reward the gold medal of all classes goes to this person. So maybe somebody in class B ran 10-8 in the 100 and that was the fastest day at that time. They're the all-around gold medal winner. And that's for relays, field events, everybody. So that's pretty cool.
Especially,
I always think it gets really cool at like the 1600 time on the final day on a Saturday where it's all the distance kids is usually last event. And I feel like class B sets that bar and now class A is like, oh, I got to run faster. And then the class double A is like, no way. I'm going to win it, but I want to get that gold medal around my neck too.
You know, we started this series to create conversation amongst different states and state associations, create empathy among states and intrastate as well. That is super. We've not heard that. That is really cool. So you're a class A state champion shot put, but then they'll take those three and say, okay, well, you get the the bigger gold, I don't know, I mean, they all get their gold medal, but they get a special, like, you are the state champion because you threw farther than anybody else.
Yep.
That's,
yeah, that... I can remember back in, even in when I ran in high school, we won the 4x8 my senior year, and it was kind of a bummer because we were separated. So, but we'd pay attention to the other sites and see who had the faster times. So we were rewarded the gold medal, and they would announce those when we had the separate sites before on the final Saturday when we were all together. But now they can just do it right away, which makes it even cooler.
Do they have and you keep saying gold medal, but you know, the winner of that 100 also wins the gold medal or first place. Yep. Is there a special name for this award, or just, is it a they bigger award, like a bigger, like a Flavor Flav clock trophy or something?
It's a bit bigger, but it's just the gold medal of all classes. So they get their gold medal for winning B or A or AA, and then they get the gold medal of all classes. So really, they'll walk, if they're that person, they walk off the stand with two gold medals.
Hey, that's cool, because meet a champs are extremely hard to pull off for timing and things like that. This may be a way for, you know, there may be other states that are listening around going like, okay, wait a minute. That's at least a good compromise to have that. That's cool. I love that. That's really good. Okay, let's go through some of your events. You already kind of gave us a preview of an event that's not very common, so we'll get to there. Let's go through the different groupings. We know you're doing the 1, 2, 4, and 8.
Yep.
On the next two, are you doing the 16-32, the mile, 2 mile, the 15-3000? What are you doing in those next two events?
We keep it simple with just the 16 and the 32.
Perfect. That's the most common. You're in a good group. That's the most common. We're doing the 110 high hurdles and the 100 hurdles for boys and girls.
Yep.
We're doing the 300 hurdles.
Correct.
We know you're doing 4x1 and 4x4. And if you've listened to all of these, you know my joke that's coming, because if you're not doing the 4x1 and the 4x4, you're not really doing track, and therefore you're not on this podcast. So we know you're doing 4x1, 4x4. You snuck in that you're doing the 4x8.
Yep.
Any other relays?
We got the 4x2.
4x2. And you mentioned a medley relay or something earlier too.
Yes. So we have the sprint medley of the 2, 2, 4, 8. So that's always, it really comes down to the 800 runner being really strong, but that's a fun one too. And it used to be, when we had it before, it used to be a prelim and a final. Well, this last year we switched it to just a final on that first day, Thursday. So what I really like about that, if you're a true just 400 runner, now you have another event. You got your open 4 and your 4x4, and now you can run the 400 in the medley. Or if you're just that true 800 kid, now you have the open 8, the 4x8, and then you can run the medley 8. So you have those three events. And I like that we don't do that prelim anymore of that, because now we're able to showcase those top 400 kids, those top 800 kids, like Simeon Birnbaum would run the medley every year with that. So showcased him with that and everything too. So
what are you calling? Are you calling it the sprint medley relay, or what are you actually calling
it? Yeah. We call it the sprint medley relay. I know some people have the sprint medley of the 1, 1, 2, 4.
Right.
And everything like that. But no, we just do the 2, 2, 4, 8.
Got it. Any other relays? Any distance medley relay or anything?
Nope. No. The only time we sneak in a distance medley relay is Dakota Relays added that one this last year. So that's kind of fun.
Very cool. That sprint medley relay, not very common, only a handful of states. I love that. That's really cool. Let's go over to our field events. We're doing long jump and triple jump for boys and girls.
Yes.
We're doing shot put and discus, boys and girls.
Yep.
And we're doing pole vault and high jump for boys and girls.
Yes.
Any other javelin, hammer, multi, steeple, anything else?
We are chucking the javelin.
Chucking the javelin, baby. That's it.
So it just started as for AA as a state event 2 years ago, basically when we shifted to the 3-day meet. It was the first year the javelin was a scored event for AA. This upcoming spring, it'll be a scored event for Class A and Class B as well.
Oh, cool.
So that's what we're kind of working through is how do we fit these in? Because where we throw the javelin is kind of somewhat where we throw the discus. And so that's something in the schedule that's been worked out. But it's been a really, really cool event to have. When we host meets, it's been really fun. Nobody has been stabbed yet. But... It's been a cool added event, and it gives those athletic kids and just one more event to do.
Absolutely. Love that. Very, very progressive from you guys. I love that very much. Some people, we talked about, you know, an unofficial meet of champions. Some states will do unofficial state championship multis or hammer, a week or so after the state meet. Anything like that?
Nope. We don't touch the hammer or the multi for up here at least.
Yeah, up there. That's right. All right, Casey, before we move on to a couple of fun questions, anything that we missed, anything else you can think of that we didn't touch on or ask? You double up your relay points. You only score 6 points. The 4x4 goes off at midnight because that's the South Dakota tradition. Anything that we missed that we should know about South Dakota?
No, we're pretty standardized on how we do the points, how we do the events. We just do the 10, 8, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Relays and all individual events. So it's pretty basic. One thing I did like that we changed that automatic timing, you know, and that top 24, but we're kind of in South Dakota. We're branching out. I mean, this is our third year of the 3-day meet. Some people are totally anti against it. I'm for it, but maybe it's because my kids get to sleep in their own bed and we're here. And if we're out in Rapid, maybe I would change when I'm watching kids now for 3 or 4 days. So
that's a good point.
Yeah.
All right, Casey, help us settle an argument, a debate, if you will, at least on your bus rides to the track meets. What's your culture there? Do we qualify for state? Do we qualify for the state meet? Are we going to states? What are we saying here? Help us out.
We say we qualified for state. And so a lot of those conversations, you know, kids will ask me, hey, is this the time that'll get me qualified for state? You know, and that type of thing. Or when those kids are outside of the top 24 and they're not sure and we're going to enter them, because we'll always enter 3 kids. No matter if they're ranked 120th or they're in the top 24. And so on that Saturday, when I see they make it in, I call them and I say, hey, you qualified for state. And that's always a really
state. That's a good way of asking that question is when you say it to a kid, what are you saying? You made it to state, kid, or Joey, good job. All right. Yep. I love that. Good. All right, man. Casey, you've done a great job. You've really, I love how you said you're pretty straightforward and yet you have the javelin, the sprint medley. Those aren't straightforward things. That's very unique. I love it. I love it. I love it. So you've been great. We're so appreciative and grateful for you. So you win the magic wand. If you could change one and only one thing, my friend, in outdoor track and field there for South Dakota, add an event, take away an event, go to a 4-day meet. I don't know. You tell me, what do you think? What would be your opinion to help make track and field just a little bit better there in South Dakota?
Oh man, I would say my one thing, and I'm against it both ways and I'm for it. Yeah, but there's part of me that goes, I'd love it if it could be more than just 3 kids per school. Because what happens if you do have that year where you have 4 kids in the top 8 in an event? Let's say the hurdlers, you got a great hurdler group, and now you got to tell that one kid, hey, sorry, you know, you would place in state, but now we can find other homes for them with all our relays and everything like that. That's the one advantage of that. But it is one of those points where we've had years, and Sioux Falls Lincoln has had years in, especially the distance events or the 400 or the 8, where we could qualify 5 or 6 kids. But I also understand from the standpoint too, is we want opportunities, and this gives, you know, some of those smaller schools that opportunity as well. Whereas maybe at the bigger schools in AA, the bigger schools in A, and the bigger schools in B would then gain maybe too much of an advantage against the competition as well.
Well, if you've been following along in our state series, you know that that is the number one concern easily amongst our high school coaches is how do we get the best athletes to the state meet, whether that means the fourth miler. You know, if you're only doing 3, what if you have that fourth shot putter? It's a little easier with a half miler or even a sprinter because of relays and stuff. Mm-hmm. That fourth shot putter, I hope you can throw the discus, and that's not necessarily a transferable skill there, by the way. Maybe we have javelin, again, not that transferable, but yeah, that's a tough one. That's easily the number one magic wand wish is something to do with how do we get our best athletes at the state meet and let them battle it out there. So Casey, thank you so much, man. This has been awesome. We are traveling from Alabama all the way to Wyoming. And I tell you what, we are learning a ton. It was so cool to learn about South Dakota. I love the sprint medley. I love uniqueness with relays in there. 5 relays. That's a big deal, man. Yep. And of course, my heart as a manufacturer here at Gill, love that you're doing the javelin. Thank you very much for doing that. And thank you for being here today and just teaching us all about South Dakota, man. This was really good. Thank you very much.
Hey, greatly appreciated. Now I'm going to go be a true South Dakotan and go deer hunting this weekend.
Exactly. Casey, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.